Thank you, Ruth. Being single. It's kind of like singing a solo. And Bryce Coblundy gives us this picture of performing a solo. He writes, "In a few minutes, the curtain will rise. The metal chairs in the school cafeteria clanked and chattered as the parents and assorted relatives bumped their way into their seats, chatting noisily. Backstage, 5-year-old Ben, in his bunny costume, shifted from foot to foot, rehearsing his 4-line solo. I'm a little bunny, hop, hop, hop. My ears are long and funny, hop, hop, hop. I wiggle my nose when you tickle my toes, 'cause I'm a little bunny, hop, hop, hop." He gulped hard and sang to himself again and again. Why did he have to be the bunny? His friend Christopher got to be the bee. All he had to do was run around stage and say bzzz. Ben adjusted his glasses and peeked around the curtain. Sitting there were his older sister Sarah, his mother and his dad, and Aunt Elizabeth. And all those people. He felt queasy. "Ben," Mrs. Tate whispered hoarsely, "are we all in our places, Ben?" Ears drooping, Ben moved over behind Jessica, the petunia. Suddenly, the rumbling din in the other side of the curtain quieted, and Mr. Jackson, the principal, welcomed everyone. Finally, he announced, "And now, a day in the garden." Ben tensed. Applause, applause. The curtain flew up, and the pianist plunked the introduction. Then nothing. She began again, and again, nothing. Jessica spun around, swatting Ben with a giant petal from her petunia costume. "Ben, you're on. Sing." The next few minutes were a blur for poor Ben. What he sang for the song, he couldn't remember. It could have been Pop Goes the Weasel for all he knew. But when it was through, he noticed his sister and his mom and his dad and his aunt smiling and waving and snapping pictures. So Ben smiled too. And when the scene was over, he hopped off stage, awfully glad the whole thing was through. Many single adults could identify with Ben. In a way, they have to perform a solo every day. When they leave for work in the morning, when they come home to their dinner, when they wonder what to do on Friday night, or when their mother asks, "Is there anyone special in your life?" It's easy to see why singles can have stage fright. One Bible character who dealt successfully with his singleness was the Apostle Paul. And for a few minutes, I'd like to examine what helped him sing out his solo with confidence. The one ingredient that inspired Paul's positive attitude in any situation was his contentment. He writes in Philippians 4, 11 and 12, "I have learned," he said, "to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both with having abundance and suffering need." Being content must have given Paul great inner confidence. for he was with at peace whatever his circumstances, rich or poor, hungry or filled, and we could even add married or unmarried. Contentment is also an essential ingredient for a single person in order for them to serve. Do I accept my singleness? Do I see value in my solo role? Am I at peace with myself? What often sets a trap for singles is thinking that marriage is the essential ingredient for happiness and a full life. But as we'll discover in this short lesson, that's not necessarily true. For learning how to be content can bring fulfillment now, married or single. We live in a couple-oriented society in which people sometimes wonder what's wrong with those who are still single. But nothing's wrong. If you're feeling that kind of pressure, take encouragement from the scripture, which applauds the lives of several single individuals. Singles are in good company with many Old Testament prophets who charted a solo course through biblical history. And you'll find friends in the New Testament as well, John the Baptist, and as we mentioned, Paul, a missionary to the whole world. Can you imagine these people having the same impact on their society if they had to come home for supper by 5:30, spend the weekends at t-ball games and piano recitals? Of course, they could have married. They had that right. Yet they chose to give that up so that, in Paul's words, they could cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Paul's example specifically sets forth four principles about singleness. And that's what we'd like to cover this morning from 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, starting with verse 6 through 9. The first principle is that it is not God's plan that everyone should marry. In fact, singleness can be a gift from God. Verses 6 through 9. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. One gift from God mentioned here is celibacy. As one commentator explains, those with this gift do not burn in oneself with the strong fire of sexual desire, which, deprived of marriage, may, in secret, devastate the inner spiritual life. The possession of this sexual self-control seems to be the test of whether God has gifted a person to be single rather than to be married. Later in the same chapter, the apostle continues his instructions about singleness, from which we can infer a second principle. Personal contentment is of greater value than marital companionship. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 through 27. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Paul is not suggesting here that his instructions are uninspired, only that Christ said nothing directly about the matter of celibacy, but that his counsel here is in step with Christ's own commands. Prompting these commands was the persecution under Nero that Paul saw coming. By remaining as they were, the people could better cope with the coming distress. David Lowry observes, however fearsome the thought of martyrdom might be to a single person, it was doubly so to a married person responsible for a spouse and children. With these conditions in view, marriage would not be wrong, but it would be more burdensome. Underlying Paul's words is the theme of contentment. Do not seek, do not seek. Verse 27. He is saying, be content in your present situation rather than making rash changes out of panic. For the single person, the implication is if you do not find peace within yourself now, it's very doubtful you will find it in marriage. Personal contentment is the foundation upon which the house of marital companionship is built. As Paul elaborates on why this foundation is necessary, we find another principle here. Marriage, while not sinful, is extremely difficult to maintain. And I find this somewhat difficult to speak on since we just celebrated our 41st anniversary this week, but really, Rhonda, there's no ulterior motive here at all. Verses 28 and 32 of 1 Corinthians 7. But if you should marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. I want you to be free from concern. The apostle does not want his readers to misunderstand him. He is not against marriage, but he realizes that along with marriage, some unique challenges that singles, it provides unique challenges that singles don't have to face. Like weights in a hiker's backpack, these challenges may slow the married person's spiritual progress. Challenges such as adjusting to another's habits, or rearing children, or handling family duties. With a lighter pack of responsibility, the single person can walk with the Lord freer from concern. The word Paul uses means unworried. And also, according to A.T. Robertson, this word is related to merizo, which means to divide. The implication is that Christian singles have fewer cares that might divide their interests and weigh them down on their spiritual journey. In the second part of verse 32 through 35, we find a closely related principle. Being single, while not ideal, can be spiritually profitable. Verses 32, that second part through 35. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Paul is saying to the single, use this time in your life to pursue holiness and undistracted devotion to the Lord. How opposite from our world's message to pursue pleasure and undistracted devotion to yourself. Longing to numb the pain of loneliness, many buy into this empty philosophy. Or longing for the greener grass of marriage, they make rash decisions that leave them with a lifetime of frustration. So what's the answer? Live life to the fullest and make the most of your freedom in serving the Lord now. If the Lord blesses you in the future with a spouse, distractions will come along with that. Suddenly, and rightly so, your time will not be your own. But now is your chance to read, to grow, to travel, to give yourself in wholehearted devotion to Christ. Don't let this opportunity go to waste. Let's put all that we've said into some words of wisdom. First, to married people, instead of resisting those that are single, start respecting them. Remember 5-year-old Ben, who was encouraged by what? He was encouraged to perform his solo by his family cheering him on. The greatest way you can cheer on single people you know is by respecting them. Marriage may not be a part of God's plan for them, or maybe God wants them to wait for his person in his time. Show respect by accepting singles as they are and let God do the lovemaking. Second, to singles, instead of drifting and doubting, start pursuing. Content in who you are and confident in God's abilities within you, run to the Lord. Devote yourself to knowing him fully. Wring out every ounce of life he gives you. For in the words of Hermann Hesse, this day will never come again, and anyone who fails to eat and to drink and to taste and to smell it will never have it offered to him again in all of eternity. The sun will never shine as it does today. You must play your part and sing a song, one of your best. So as they told Ben, sing it out. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the examples in your word of these characters that we are looking at. We thank you, Lord, that you worked with real people in real time and in real space. And then that was recorded for us and for our lessons for this day. We thank you that nothing was spared. We see the good and we see the bad. And we also see your work in their lives. And we realize that the same can happen to us today. That you are there with your grace and your mercy and your love. You are ready to supply our needs, and you are ready to supply what we think we need or we don't think we need, but yet you are there for our best. Help those of us, Lord, that are married to support those that are single, and those that are single to find confidence in who they are because of you and find their way in what you would have for them. Lord, we thank you for all of the people that you bring into our lives. We thank you for all the people that are in this body and that are here to minister. to each other and to be ministered to reach out to those around us and to be your voice in a very lost world. We thank you for the job you give us to do and the way you supply our needs. It's in your name we pray. Amen.